Okay, so there are six different ways that you can finance and pay for your group health insurance benefits. I'm going to go through the six here. My name is John Millen, managing partner for the Millen Group. We've been in business for 22 years, and I'm doing this audio to educate and empower CFOs, owners, presidents, HR directors, executive directors of nonprofits, whatever your involvement is. You got to this place, however you got to it. You found this. I emailed it. You found it online. And the reason is I want you to understand that the different options you have when it comes to group health benefits. And I want you to understand, if nothing else, that there are probably options you're not even being told, you're not aware of, and that they're available right now. And because you've not heard of them before, you think they're not true or they don't exist. Just because you haven't heard of something before doesn't mean it's not true. It just means you haven't heard about it before. And so by me telling you with no ulterior motive other than to educate you, this may open your mind and you may be able to like, hey, maybe there are some things we can do with our healthcare. Because the number one thing I hear when I get on calls with people, with decision makers, is I don't think there's much we can do. Like, just take it. And because I asked that question, like, what do you think you can do to bend the cost of your healthcare? Do you think you can have your costs go down next year without making the coverage worse? And so this whole industry of healthcare, $4.3 trillion, makes more money as your costs go up. So the industry is fighting against you. You've got to first understand that it is the way it is. You're in an environment of misaligned interests. And so that's why the perpetuating story is there's not a lot you can do. You can just skinny your network and do a wellness plan. We need to do some HSA, and that's going to give consumerism. None of that stuff works. But it keeps you just trying, but it's never addressing the root cause. And so what I want to do is tell you the insider information, because no one taught me this from day one. I had to find this stuff out the hard way, sometimes by losing an account. Like, what? We lost an account. What happened? And we found out somebody brought in some strategy. I'm like, what is that thing? Well, I hadn't figured out to learn about all the different strategies, so it must be bad, right? Well, that must be a bad. No. Each has its own risk-reward profile. And so when you understand the six, and if you want these six, I can send you. I have a one-page flyer that explains all six. Very simple. Plus, it has a chart of the risk versus reward. Everything comes with good and bad, and you got to weigh that. And so just go to millengroup.com, and there's a little form, or you can email me, john@millengroup.com, and I'll send it to you. Okay, so the six are fully insured, level funded, retail self-funded, wholesale self-funded, cost plus, and community funded. Those are the six. Fully insured, which fully insured means is you give up most of your control. They give you a rate. They give you the coverage. It's based on your census data. And if you're experience rated, if you have more than 50 eligible employees, you're in the middle or large market in most states. And your rate is based on your usage or perceived risk of usage in the future. That's the way it works. So it's very simple. But you have barely any control, and you're just basically at the whim every year. They don't give you much data. That's the way it is. You're probably overpaying. But in some cases, being fully insured is the right plan to be on. It's not always bad. The second is level funded, where you're basically the rates you pay are entirely based on your usage, which is really good if you have low usage or lots of younger employees. But nowadays, it doesn't even matter because these high-cost prescriptions can be hitting younger employees, and it throws off your claim. So it's not just age-related anymore, but this is where you have a little more control. You get to pick and design your plans, sort of, and you're at the whim a little bit of your usage. And you got to be careful here because a lot of times these are a little bit deceiving on the rebates you may get back or some, if you don't spend as much, but it's, you got to be very careful with level funded plans, especially when they come from the retail carriers, but it is a little bit different. You get some information about what's going on, and it can be a good fit. The third is self-funded, and there's actually a couple different types of self-funding. There's retail self-funding where you're buying the package from the insurance company. So think about this as you're going to any one of the carriers, so whether it's CVS Aetna, which is called Meritain, UMR, which is UHC, Blue Cross Blue Shield, Aetna. Humana was in, but Humana's slow getting out, so maybe not Humana. Cigna is the other one, right? And so that's where you go to the insurance company and they give you a self-funded platform where you have stop-loss insurance and aggregate insurance and maybe lasers in there, and you have all these pieces. You get lots of claims data that you may or may not be given access to, and you run your plan from a retail channel. That may be a good fit, but the good side is you get lots of visibility. And if it's running well, you're going to be okay. The bad side is that you don't have a lot of control to change anything because it's a retail package. Think of it as a custom home from a track builder. You go to an HH Hunt, you want a $2 million home, and there's certain ways they build it. And you can't change the foundation because when they do the home, that's the way it is. You can tinker a few things on the inside, maybe the siding, maybe the size of the house. But a lot of the main components are already decided for you. That's a retail plan. The retail components are already in there. You can't really move them around. Sometimes it's good. Sometimes it's bad. Then you also have self-funded, which is a wholesale plan, which is more of an unbundled, where you take the components and you get to truly build a custom home. Like, I want the foundation to have 6-inch on center rebar, and I want it to be insulated, and I want a vapor barrier before the house goes down. Like, there's all these little things you can add all throughout the way. Or you use a contractor that knows about this, and they say to you, hey, if you want the best heating and cooling for your home, we're going to put a vapor barrier on your foundation, and it's going to make your house easier to cool and heat. Like, so a custom home is more of a wholesale self-funded plan where you're not beholden to the insurance company. You get to have a lot more control and flexibility. Some cases that's really good. Sometimes, some cases it's not, but this is one that a lot of people are not familiar with, or they get nervous. Like, oh my God, I don't want to build my own home. Okay. You just find a contractor that helps you. It's no big deal. Then you have cost plus, also called reference-based pricing, where you're paying the providers a percentage above the Medicare reimbursement rate, just like Medicare does. So it's cost plus. For instance, if you have this plan, employee goes into a hospital and needs an MRI on their shoulder, then if the Medicare rate pays the hospital $2,000, let's say, I'm making this up, then the insurance company pays them 80% more than that. And so they get paid, I don't know, $2,800 for the service. So it's a negotiated rate. You're paying cost plus a buffer to the providers. This is a really good option depending on where you live, though. So the good thing is the rates could be really effectively dropped fast on this because you're not overpaying at all. And it's got a self-funding platform, so you've got a lot of control. Some of the negative is if the providers in your area don't take this or don't accept the contract, you can run into some issues. So this is all like some pre-planning. Last is community funded. This is where you're using the pool of risk in your state. And this is the newest option. It's been around since 2020, 2021-ish, right during COVID, right? So a lot of people missed this, but it's been around now, going on the fourth year. 2024 is the fourth year this has been available. It's a national option. And essentially, if you think of self-funding where you have your own little group of employees for risk, let's say you got 200 people on your medical plan, and you've got the usage and you got some insurance to protect you. Think about taking those 200 people and dumping them into the state where you live, the state pool of all the people. So like in Virginia, it would be 400,000 people. You're adding your little 200 people into this massive pool of insured people in the state, the community funded. And so it really diminishes the risk because your 200 people versus 400,000 doesn't matter. So if one of your people has a heart attack, it doesn't matter. It's 400,000 people, all that premium, all that risk. So there's more deeper to this. This is using individual plans and HRA funding, but this is a really fascinating option that has a high reward and very low risk to it. So you want to make sure you're familiar with this, and this is the newest one. So those are the six. What I would suggest is when you have conversations with your advisor, ask them, hey, I want you to educate me about all six options. And just be prepared that they may not know what you're saying. And if you want the flyer, I'll send you the flyer, and you can just give it to them if you want, or just type it up, or whatever, however you want to use it, saying, I would like options on all six. Why would you do that? If I were you, I would want to know that that person has evaluated all of my available options. It may not mean that you run proposals on all six, like you get rates and RFPs. It means that you've evaluated. You've had a discussion about, okay, let's talk about cost plus, reference-based pricing. Tell me what you know about. So I'm now the client talking to my broker. Tell me what you know about cost plus, reference-based pricing. And hopefully that person can have a good conversation with you about how it works. This is the good stuff. This is the bad stuff. You have a conversation about it. Okay. In your opinion, you know, is this a good fit here? Have you installed this anywhere? What's your experience installing this? You have that discussion. It's important because and this happens a lot in my industry. This happened the other day on LinkedIn. A guy was bashing one of these six. And I don't know, it doesn't matter which one. They were kind of bashing it, saying it was bad. So I responded and said, how many have you installed? Like, how many Hondas have you sold? Have you sold any Hondas? You're making fun of the Hondas, but you don't sell Hondas. So it's easy to say the Honda's bad. I've sold Hondas. I can tell you the good and the bad. But I've sold several Hondas. So stop bashing something that you have no knowledge about just because it gives you some ratings, or you get people looking at it, or makes you look smart, but you've never sold the Honda. Why don't you ask someone that has sold a Honda, tell me about the steering. Is it a little stiffer than Toyota? Yeah, the Honda's a little more stiff. The steering column feels different than a Toyota's, a little softer. Yeah, that's different. But hey, you may like that. And so my point is, you have a conversation with people that you're getting your advice from. You're not trapping them. You're just saying, hey, tell me what you know. And then if you find out, they're like, yeah, I think we should look at that. Great. I'd like you to look at that for me. And you go through all six and you have this discussion. Now, if they say that, yes, 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 then I would be like, well, why did you not bring this up? Why am I telling you, you're the advisor, that you're getting paid from the insurance companies? Why this is reversed? Like, I would want to know. Like, that's you like going to build a house and you go to the contractor and you go, hey, I like a house and I like this kind of house and this. And eventually I'd be like, well, why didn't you bring this up to me? If you're the expert in building houses, why am I telling you the type of foundation to use on the house? Just me. You may find they don't know about it, and that's fine. You're talking to someone that's not something that they're knowledgeable about. Maybe it's a specialty area. You're asking the contractor to build in a high water table area in Florida. They're not familiar with that. They don't deal with high water tables in Virginia, but in Florida you do. 2 feet below the surface, you better know how to do your foundation on a high water table. So maybe you find another contractor for your home. Right? You don't force that person to build it for you. Maybe you hire a consultant that helps you with the design and the foundation, and you have a consulting firm, a person that helps consult with your broker. These are all options that people tend to not even think about when it comes to healthcare. They're like, oh, they said it's bad, so we're not looking at it. Or I had this conversation the week. They said, oh yeah, I've heard about that, but we've heard about that before. Okay. Why did you not look at it? Did you get a proposal? No. Why not? I don't know why. Broker never brought it to us. Yeah. That's a problem. Like, just to say you looked at it, like, oh, I'm familiar with that, but they never even really dug into it and did any kind of evaluation. So that's my advice. Hope it's helpful. Let us know if we can help you. And there are some other audios on this page and in the podcast that I think will be beneficial.